Hello and welcome to episode number 62 of the WP Cafe Show. With me, Keith Devon, and...
And with me, Matt Wilkinson. Hello, everyone. We are back after missing...
Nearly forgot the name. Sorry.
Nearly forgot the name. You're back after missing last week's episode. We were We actually got together in London. We were invited to one of our clients' 20th... I was going to say birthday parties, but it was anniversary parties, kind of a birthday party, isn't it? They had a little sort of gathering in the evening and they kindly invited us to go. So we thought, hey, why not? We've never done anything like that before. It'd be nice to catch up. So we went down to London and that was kind of the Thursday evening. And we spent sort of Friday morning doing a bit, bits and bobs. And then we headed back up, well, I headed back up north in the afternoon. So we went around for the show, but that was why last week's was missing.
It was very nice, wasn't it, to get together, spend a bit of time in person.
And, yeah, definitely. Enjoyed it. Yeah. It was good. I was just saying before, it doesn't seem a week ago, but it was gone so fast.
It was a fun day, actually. We played a bit of virtual golf, which was interesting. It was good fun, actually.
Good.
Yeah. Just smacking a golf ball against a cloth screen with a projected golf course on it. It was all tracked and it was good. That was really good fun. I really enjoyed that.
The darts game was fun, wasn't it, at the end of
darts game? Yeah, basically it was like a virtual giant dart board on a driving range and we had to try to score. It was that was really fun. I really enjoyed that. And then lovely evening on the Thames, well, overlooking the Thames and overlooking the city of London from a gorgeous balcony bar. It was in the sunshine. It's pretty spot on, wasn't it?
It was good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. Really, really enjoyed it.
Hi, Tony. Thank you very much for joining us again. If you are also watching along live on YouTube, let us know who you are, where you are. That'd be really good. If you have any questions for us, we always like taking questions, so do feel free to add them to the comments.
Yeah.
What are we talking about today, Keith?
Well, I kind of feel like we should have recorded our conversation from earlier, but okay. I think we should maybe try to summarize our earlier private conversation about marketing.
Marketing, yes.
Yeah, the bane of our existence, and I think probably the bane of many WordPress developers, especially like freelancers or small agencies, and kind of I think it's a real challenge for a lot of people, and I think that a lot of people have kind of survived up until now without really doing any active marketing, just existing, and I think that's starting to change. I think that's getting harder and harder to do. Certainly for some of the people that I talk to.
Less and less work around.
Don't know about less work. There's certainly, maybe there is less work. Maybe less work. Definitely more competition. And like WordPress maybe losing its sheen a little bit. Although I still think there's probably still a massive market of like businesses looking for WordPress sites. But it kind of came into focus for us, especially because of our new product, so RecPress. So we've got this product now that seems to be resonating pretty well with the target audience. So we're kind of selling it like an upsell to our Job Relay product, aren't we?
Yep.
It's kind of like, okay, you need Job Relay, but what's the state of the job board on your website? Oh, it's terrible, or I don't have one. Okay, well, we've got this sort of thing. So we've discussed on previous episodes like kind of how that came about. And that's great, and it's growing, slowly. We're getting more and more people onto that product, which is wonderful. But I do think that this is perhaps our most marketable idea that we've had in terms of it's very kind of easily defined as to what it is and who it's for. And I think those two, and it's got like a price, like it's not, a price that seems to be working for people and working for us. So that's kind of taken out of the equation. So we know who we're trying to get in front of. We know what this thing does and why it's good. We know what price it is. So the last piece of the puzzle is, how do you get this in front of the people that might need it, that might be interested in it? And
that's the ultimate question.
And that's the ultimate question, yeah. So, yeah.
For me, marketing people or agencies or whatever you want to call them don't really seem to offer solutions for. They seem to offer... And I guess because it's hard. Like, they don't know your market, but then should they? Because they are marketing people. I don't know. Because that's all we want help with, I think. It's like, right, we've got this product. We've got some landing pages, which are half decent. You know, like you said, they probably could be better. They're definitely not as bad as some of the ones we've seen. They do a decent job. All we need to do is get this in front of the right people. And that's kind of what we want help with. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how do we go about doing that is the question. And who do we go about doing it with? And I guess how much does it cost? The answer is it shouldn't cost us anything because it should come back in revenue with the product.
Yeah.
But you've got to convince the investment in the marketing is actually going to do the return.
Yeah. So I think, we've definitely got a few challenges. One is, like, who do we approach in the sense of what type of marketing person stroke organization do we approach at this point? Is it someone with experience in working with businesses like ours? Is it someone with experience working within the recruitment industry? Is it someone with very specific experience of a particular platform or channel? For example, a LinkedIn marketing specialist or a PR person or a whatever. So that's, I think that's one of our challenges. The next challenge for us is a trust and risk challenge. And I think that's the much, much harder one to get our heads around, isn't it? Because I think we both understand why there's has to be an initial outlay of a not inconsiderable amount of money just to get the things up and running. Like, it's like with anything, there's some preparatory work to be done. Like, you know, in projects that we do, there's a discovery session that is charged for that before any code gets written. We know that there, and then with marketing, depending on the channel, but with probably most channels, there's there's a lag time between the activities that you do and the outcomes that you expect. And in some cases, for example, probably with SEO, especially with SEO, actually, like content marketing, there's like a compounding effect, you know, that blog post that you write today, you know, doesn't rank straight away, doesn't get the traffic straight away. Over time, that should improve, but also with other blog posts alongside it on similar topics, that should compound the effect of the initial one. So there should be some kind of exponential curve, but that all means that you've put quite a lot of money, potentially time, into this process without really seeing anything back and with no guarantees that you ever will. And I think that's our bigger challenge. I think, you know, we could probably do a bunch of research and find someone who's good at X or good at Y, but someone that can convince us that doing X or doing Y will get us what we want is going to be a lot harder, I think.
It's going to be very hard, yeah.
I was just going to say, what kind of assurances would you be realistically looking for? Obviously, if someone could say to us, we guarantee you 100 customers if you give us 10 grand, we'd be like, yep, done. We'll sign on the dotted line.
I'll give you 20 for 200 customers if you want.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen. So what is going to convince you, do you think, to work with somebody?
That is a question that I don't know the answer to. I honestly don't know the answer to. Because for me, we build and sell products. We've got a job really in RecPress. You buy that thing, you get that thing, you pay your money. And if you don't get it and it doesn't work, you don't pay. But that doesn't seem to happen with marketing. We hire an expert who is an expert at getting us customers or leads. So if they don't do that, then why do we pay them?
Yeah. So my devil's advocate to that is that, yes, we sell products, and the end goal for the recruiter is that they want more job applications, but we don't guarantee job applications.
But we don't sell them either.
But marketers don't sell sales. They sell, we'll do X and Y for you. Like, we'll do a strategy session. We'll write X number of blog posts. We'll post X number of things on social media in the hope that doing all that will get you more sales. In the same way that we sell a job integration thing and job boards that are better than the ones you had before, in the hope that you'll get more job applicants. But we don't guarantee that for anybody. So why don't we guarantee it? Like, is there something about that that's different? Like, do you think?
Because we don't sell that. We don't even have that in our marketing. Job Relay increases the number of applications you'll get on your website. That doesn't exist in our marketing. We never say that.
Yeah.
We say it will do X and Y.
But they're happy to pay the money to us without that guarantee. So why are we not happy to pay the money to a marketing company without that guarantee?
Because they're paying the money to us to do the thing that they're paying for. Get the jobs from those posting services on their website.
Okay.
That's what they're doing. That's what they're paying us for.
Yeah.
They're not paying us for more applications. We don't even offer that.
No. I sort of know. But
marketers
what you mean.
Seem to do that. They say we will do these things to get you more leads, to get you more sales, to get you more growth. But don't back it up with actually, you know, if that doesn't happen, then
yeah.
I've seen that on marketing copy on people's websites.
No, I completely agree. But I think it's a difference between what people are saying on their websites in terms of what you're getting. But at the end of the day, people that buy our products want more job applications. We might not be saying that we will guarantee it, but that is why they're buying it. They're not buying it for the sake of it. They're not buying, you know, because they love data going from one place to another. They're doing it because they want a business return that we don't guarantee. So if marketers didn't guarantee that stuff, so say, are you saying that, like, if a marketer just said, we will write X number of blog posts, Y number of social media things, and we won't guarantee any results, would you be more inclined to go with them because they're not guaranteeing the results? I don't know. Like,
well, it depends what the cost is, doesn't it? Because and how can they write a blog post about a topic that they don't know about?
Well, AI does it for them.
Well, so why would we pay them to do it? Why would we just do it with AI ourselves? That's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. But we don't.
It seems, yeah. I don't know. It just seems, it's like a, I don't know, like a football manager coming to getting some consultancy on, you know, how to play tennis because they're good at it. Well, it's not going to help in my industry, is it? It's not.
Yeah.
It's not going to help us because even though you're awesome at it.
Mm.
Maybe they exist. Maybe like specific marketers exist for different sectors. I don't know.
But I think these techniques, they are proven to work. I bet if you go to most marketing companies, they will be able to point you to a case study where we did X and this happened. Like, and that doesn't mean that they can guarantee it happening for you, but they can probably draw lines between the activities that they were involved in and sales. Definitely. And there's people that are continuing to pay these people money every month, every year to do what they do. So it's not a scam. Like, it's real. So, like, what makes you think that it won't work for us, I think, is the question.
What are they going to do, I suppose, is the first question. I can't answer that without knowing what they're actually going to do, I suppose. But like, take content marketing, for example.
Yeah.
At a very simplistic level, this is going to be, we're going to write 10 blog posts about 10 topics that are around your product, which your product may well help with. And we're going to put them on your blog, and you're going to pay us, plucking this out of thin air, $1,000 for each post, $10,000. And the customers will read those and think you're awesome and then buy your product.
Mm.
I'm just sat there thinking, no, that's not going to work.
Why do you think that's not going to work?
How are they going to find these blog posts?
Google.
So we've now got an SEO element on top of it. Not just
content marketing is to do with SEO, yeah.
Right. So we're back to the same issue then. If I'm paying you this to improve the SEO, what happens if you can't improve the SEO? Do I get my money back?
Hmm.
I'm literally paying you to get them high in the rankings for these search terms. No,
because I guess when you first start, you don't know what the search terms are, and you don't know who you're competing against, and you don't know X, Y, and Z. It's a process.
That's a different project.
It could be a different project. Yeah. Yeah, that could be like a content strategy project or something like that you pay for.
Yeah.
So in our expertise, these are the blog posts that you should write. Could be a project. Yeah.
That probably has more value than actually writing them, I would imagine. I don't know.
I think that has more value to us. Yeah, because I think the writing of them I wouldn't particularly mind doing.
Okay.
And I could probably do it between us, definitely, with the expertise that we have, we could probably do that part of it reasonably well. I think that, you know, I think people definitely offer that service, like, just to do that.
Yeah.
That content strategy, like, we'll plan basically a calendar of posts that you should do. But then the other problem is that we then have to do it. And we've said to ourselves before, time and time again, right, we're going to write X number of posts over this time. You know, they're all going to be on this kind of cluster of topics. And then, you know, 3 months later, we've kind of given up on it and it hasn't happened.
That's why. There's no return in them. That's yep. Why. If you wrote a blog post and ultimately you started seeing stuff come in and you started seeing sales and people referencing it and your stats were telling you that a lot of people were looking at it, you'd definitely be more inclined to sort of, yeah, I'm going to write another one now because it's working. But what happens is we'd spend ages writing a blog post. We'd do our best to promote it on different platforms. And that's it. Nothing happens. No sales, nothing. So
yeah, but
we're just like, well, what's the point? So we don't write another one.
But is that, yeah, I completely agree. I think if we'd had some positive feedback to some of that work that we'd done, we definitely would have continued to do it. But I do wonder, and I don't know how we would know the answer to this without doing it, but I do wonder if we'd kept going. Like, does it eventually start to click? You know, those algorithms kick in and Google's like, oh, okay, these guys are putting out fairly consistent, fairly like high quality stuff. It's all well kind of interlinked. It's all on this topic, these topic clusters well organized on the site. Like I said to you earlier, like you can't expect to write a blog post, like one blog post, and Google suddenly thinks, oh yeah, I'm going to send all the traffic there, because I bet it can happen, but you've got to really get lucky and proper, yeah, stars align for that to work. You know, I think a good blog, like a high ranking blog in competitive terms, is a long term investment.
Yep.
So that does, because we failed, doesn't mean we were doing the wrong thing. It might be that we were doing the wrong thing, but it might be that we just didn't do the right thing for long enough. Potentially.
We don't know, do we? That's the problem.
Yeah. But that's the thing, we probably would know if we hired someone like for a year to like, right, just sort us out for the next year, be consistent.
So how much would you be willing to spend on testing that theory? And it's testing that theory, we don't know if it's going to work, and that's the question.
I'd like to think if I put about 10 grand into it, I would want to start to see like an upward trend by the end of a year.
I'd probably want to
see some kind of progress within 6 months to indicate that something is happening, and then I would want that to have like compounded a bit by the end of the year.
Well, I would be very surprised if someone will charge 10 grand to do that for a year.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. They want more than that.
What, to write 10 blog posts?
And to, yeah, or presumably 12 blog posts. Them or whatever, you know, and promote them and do all the bits that you need to do with them, I would imagine. Because we don't do it, do we? We've just said that. They need to do everything.
Yeah.
So I would imagine they're going to want 25 grand at least. I don't know.
Well, I think you're probably right. Like we've looked at some prices out there, haven't we? And
yeah,
they're reasonably high. They're probably closer to 25.
So would you spend 25 grand to take a punt and test the theory?
I think it really. I think that depends on the person that we speak to and potentially how much we think they understand. I am like you. I kind of want them to take a little bit of the risk on. Like, because you're sitting in a sales call with a marketing person and you say, I've got 25 grand to spend. Do you think you can help us? The answer is yes. Like, they are going to say yes. And then if it doesn't work out, they'll blame the industry, the product, the whatever. Like, it's... They've done what they know works for other people, hasn't worked for you. Tough luck.
Yep.
Like, and yeah. So,
thanks for that 25 grand lie. Cheers.
yeah.
And everyone will be screaming in the comments. Cue everyone to scream in the comments.
No one's screaming.
Well, that won't happen because it'll work. You know, but it's a tough decision to part with a lot of cash for risky stuff like that, particularly for our business. I think it is, personally. I think you know, I don't know, I think 10 grand like you would probably, I would be more inclined to give it a punt at that, maybe.
Yeah, but I want to see something. I want to see something has to be happening in terms of, even if it's one or two sales that can be directly attributed to that, those activities. That's okay, something's happening that we can now potentially improve, iterate, whatever, double down on, whatever. But it can't be 10 grand for nothing, like for absolutely nothing, which is kind of what we've done before when we engaged somebody and then we got like a bit of a strategy document, which was terrible. For 10 grand. Or I think it was slightly less than that, wasn't it? Or was it more? Slightly less, I think.
I think it was more.
Was it?
It wasn't, wasn't much different, put it that way.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah.
So, if you're watching along, then, like, what are your experiences of this? Like, are we completely wrong? Are we completely right? And you agree? Have you tried marketing yourselves? What did you try? Did it work? Did not work? It's like we're a bit in the dark, and that's part of the problem, I think. So we really need to...
Please just tell us what we should do.
Tell us the answer.
Basically, because, it's so difficult. It's so difficult. But I'm definitely... Like, we differ on this. I think this is, like, probably the thing we probably are furthest apart on in the business as to what we should do about this side of things, but I'm actually kind of glad that you take the position you do, because it forces me to really, really justify spending the money and how we're going to spend the money. Nice one, Paul.
Suggestion.
Yeah,
that's a very good Christmas do for two
of us. For people listening along, Paul has just said, spend the 10K on your high-rise Christmas do. Yeah, I don't think we're allowed to, are we? There's a limit to how much you can spend.
There is a limit, yeah. Per person, I think, isn't there? That you can, well, you can spend what you want, but there's a limit for like tax reasons, isn't
there?
as an expense and stuff. But
excellence, there is no guarantees in business. No, they're not. So I think what you're getting at there is sometimes you have to take a risk, which I completely agree with. But what? How much of a risk? what's the least risky option?
And risk is always a balance between what's what I'm trying to say. Like you weigh up risk based on whether how much you think it will work out, don't you?
Mm.
So whatever we do is a risk. As the person we engage with or whatever we do has got to convince you that the risk is worth it. You know, you've got to have a bank of evidence that says.
Exactly.
This is going to be the thing that's going to work. And I just don't see that. I only see that, you know, I'm going to write 10 blog posts and hopefully it'll work.
So we need the case studies. We need to look at people's case studies on their websites, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe do we need to talk to some of the people in those case studies?
Better. Yeah.
Talk to some of these businesses that have used marketing agency, Acme Marketing, you know, and see what their experience actually was, not just the glowing stuff that you see on a website.
Yeah.
That could be good.
I think that'd be good. Yeah, definitely.
If anyone wants to share their experiences with us, please do, like in private or in public, you know, you can get in touch with us very easily on Twitter or email or whatever. So yes, it's a dilemma, but I'm getting to the, especially because of RecPress. I just feel like this is our most marketable product that we've ever had. I just think it's there. It's ready to go. It just needs to be. It needs eyeballs. We need to like be fishing in the right pond, and I think it could really transform that as a business because it's just got so much. It's been such an easy sell so far, hasn't it, to people?
But only to Job Relay customers.
Yeah.
Because if you're not selling to a Job Relay customer, the person you're selling to will have a host of options to choose from, not just us.
They still do have a host of options to choose from.
They still do, but I think it's very different than, like, you know, if you're having a... I can't think of an example. You've got a tradesman coming in to do something and they say, well, actually, you need this as well, and then they just say, well, actually, I could just do it for you now. You're probably more likely to just get them to do it, even if it costs you more. And that's kind of the position we're in on those calls. They need this thing, and we offer this thing, so they're more likely to just say yes. They're getting a great product, don't get me wrong. It's not that we're twisting them or anything. But if you said to them, you know, go out and find yourself one, I think that's why it's an easier sell on those calls. Whereas if you've got a customer in front of you that has a number of other options in, it's a harder sell.
I think it's only an easier sell because they're in front of us, which isn't
correct.
The selling part of the problem. It's the marketing part of the problem. So what you're saying is the marketing has been solved and it's an easy sell. And that's exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying the sell is easy. We just need to get in front of the people that need it. Because once people are there who are on WordPress and they're a recruiter and they want a decent job board, what we offer is really, really compelling, I think. So it's back to the marketing problem. It's getting in front of those people at the right time, you know. But yeah, anyway, so. To be continued. I feel like we'll be talking to this again.
And again. Yeah. And again.
Tony says, raise the issue at WP London Camp. What is that?
I presume it's Word Camp London. I might be wrong. Or what, the London meetup, maybe.
Word Camp London isn't happening there, so.
No, yeah. Not anymore. Well, it might not happen. It's not happening this September.
It's not happening this September. Yeah, pretty disappointing that.
It's a shame, isn't it? I was looking forward to catching up with everybody.
Yeah.
Saying hello.
Hopefully that will be resolved soon. I saw that Dan, who has been running that for the last number of times that it's taken place, posted something on Twitter recently about big problems within the community in terms of, I think, in terms of running events and how difficult that is. And he added Matt, Mr. Mullenweg, and Mr. Mullenweg responded to it saying, "What can I do to help?" And Dan was like, "I'm going to write this up properly and collect my thoughts and then let you know," kind of thing. So I'm really interested to hear what Dan's going to say, because WordCamps and meetups in the UK have died. They, like, it's awful. We used to have such a healthy, thriving WordPress community in this country, and it's dead. And it's, yeah, quite disappointing. And yeah, what's going on? Obviously COVID, obviously. But other countries and places seem to be up and running again with meetups and WordCamps and things, and where we seem to be really struggling. So
yeah, interesting to know what the reasons for that is, I think, wasn't it?
Yep. Shall we wrap it up?
Tony just said, "Is it not?" As in, is it not happening? And yes, so I'm looking at directly here on my screen over here, looking at the UK Slack channel, and someone has written, "Just to confirm, WordCamp London will not be going ahead in September. We'll give a full update and explain as soon as we gather our experiences together for you." So it does indicate that that is not happening in September. Never say never for later on in the year and or next year, but not as it was planned, I don't think.
Yeah.
Right, let's wrap it up. Thank you for joining us, everybody, and listening to our marketing rant. we'll no doubt pick this up again in the future. I think Keith's just been putting on the screen there. Do subscribe if you're not. Like the video, it'd be good and helpful. And we'll see you next week, I think. I think we're here next week.
See you then. Bye-bye.